Sagoon for, you know, taking part in this and helping us develop this. So that's super valuable for all of us. And obviously, I'm talking on behalf of a bigger, much larger team, right?
Right.
So that's why it's really good that we can record this so we can also share with the other people. We are currently all doctors from, I'm actually from Europe, from Austria, but there's multiple people from the US involved as well. And we are all traveling to a conference in Colorado. That's why it's me alone, because many of the others are currently on flights, etc. But I just arrived
Are
in
you
Denver.
already here? Are you already in Colorado?
Yeah, I just arrived in Denver yesterday at 1 a.m. or so. So I had a
Oh
short
boy.
night. And yeah.
Yeah. I'm in Colorado Springs.
Yeah, I'm not yet there. I'm close to the Denver airport, but I'll head down today. So, yeah.
Off subject, I have a nephew that lives in the Denver area, and he decided yesterday for Labor Day, which was a holiday here, that he was going to climb in Pikes Peak and then come down. And he did it. It was 26 miles. I'm like, you're crazy. Wow, that's a marathon. He's one of those kind of guys. So
I mean,
they've
that's
gone to
tough.
Machu Picchu before and climbed that. So yeah, he's into that stuff.
Also, the
Must be
altitude,
nice.
right? So it's 14,000 feet or so. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was 26 miles, he said. So,
Good for him. Wow.
Yeah.
Crazy. Well, I'll drive up there, but with the car. But you know, climbing up the rock. Perfect. So, Mr. Goon, I think Jennifer shared the questions with you in advance, right?
Yes.
So I would just say, you know, if that's okay for you, I would go through the questions, you know, but one by one. And you know, you may have more responses to some and less to others, and that's totally fine, right? It's a
Okay.
bit obliged to kind of like have a lot of input on everything. We just wanted to kind of like display a big area, and
Right.
wherever you know, and you may emphasize some of those as well, right? You may say this
Okay.
is think specifically important. So what we could do is actually I could start sharing the questions so we can also see them.
Sure.
Let me do that.
Uh-oh.
Okay, can you see?
I lost my picture. Sorry.
Oh no.
I don't know what happened here.
Jennifer, can you see the questions, the shared screen?
I cannot. I just see a black screen. Do you want me to try?
Oh no, I'll just retry again. Sometimes it's not because it
There you
works on my
go. Now I see
computer.
you. So it's not just us, Matt.
Yeah,
I see you now.
okay, let me just try one more time. Oh,
Yeah,
it's
now I'm
just
blank.
let's wait a bit because sometimes it takes a bit to turn from black to word.
Okay.
If not, I would ask you, Jennifer, if you could maybe. You're still not seeing it, right?
Correct.
Oh,
Yeah, I'm
it's
not either.
good.
So
Zoom acting up. Jennifer,
there
if
we
you want
go.
to
Let me
try.
give it a try. I have it pulled up as well. Looks like my is that showing?
Yes. For me,
Okay.
it's working. Mr. Goon?
Yes, I see some stuff now. Yeah.
Perfect. Okay. So I think let's just, are you ready to start?
I am.
Perfect. Thank you so much also for taking time this morning. Let's just start with the first question. So basically the whole criteria that we are setting forth are actually for new antifungal drugs and for clinical trials for patients with aspergillosis or other mold infections, right?
Okay.
So we just wanted to start off with asking a question about you telling us in your own words about your experience with a mold infection. Let's just start quickly with that.
Okay. I'm a double transplant patient. I had heart and kidney done in July of last year. I was discharged from the hospital in September. And I developed a pneumonia, but I was not the aspergillus at that time. But I was released basically in September and was back in October. And I was going for a checkup in November, right before Thanksgiving time, which would be near the end of November. And I noticed that I was developing a little bit of a cough. When I had the checkup, but it was the week of Thanksgiving, which was a holiday, so they didn't want to keep me, and they gave me some antibiotics to take, and I went back home. I'm about 4 hours away from the hospital center where I had the transplant done. During that week, it got worse, and I put off going and taking care of it right away because I had company in town from 1,000 miles away. But as the week went on, I just got continually worse. And finally, the Monday after Thanksgiving, so it had been about a week, I was struggling to breathe anymore. So I had to go on to the oxygen. I wasn't sure, and they weren't sure right away what it was, but at the hospital, they had run some tests and they eliminated other things and figured it was probably Aspergillus. So they started me on some antibiotics. And then, probably about a week later, they put a line in and I started getting some intravenous antibiotics. So, how I picked it up, I don't know, but my immune system's very low. So and Dr. Pappas said, you could probably just get it from breathing, so anywhere. So that was kind of my main symptom was that I was just having trouble breathing. It just got harder and harder to breathe. So as far as the other symptoms, I didn't really, other than the beginning, I had a cough, but after that, the cough kind of went away. It just became more of an oxygen related feeling. So yeah, that was basically I was in the hospital for about 3 weeks and they put a PICC line in, and so I continued treatment at home for another, I guess, I don't know, 10 weeks or so. So it was a long process, but I gradually felt better, slowly, but the antibiotic really, probably took most of my symptoms away within about 9 or 10 weeks. Now I still have it. I can feel it if I breathe deeply, but basically I can live with that. It's a very minor thing. So, and I just saw Dr. Pappas this week, and he recommended me. I've been taking Pasconazole since they stopped the other drug, and the Pasconazole, he recommended this week that I probably should stop that now. But he said, you have to be sensitive to it, and if it flares back up, act on it right away. So, but the only time I can really feel anything is if I take a really super deep breath. I can sometimes feel it in my chest, but it's probably, according to his X-rays and his pictures that he's seen, it's not probably gone, but he's not sure if it could be scar tissue or whatever. But for the most part, it's probably 95% better than it was from the worst. So I'm happy,
Yeah, no, absolutely. But it's a really great disease course, and of course you were in really good hands with Dr. Pappas. It's a life-threatening, really life-threatening infection. So really happy to hear about your disease course and how it developed. And obviously it's always challenging to stop treatment, right? So that's always not so easy, and we always have to be careful. And yeah. So just quickly, because I think I have not introduced myself really properly in the beginning. So my name is Martin Hönigl. I'm infectious disease doc, and I actually was in the US for say 7 or 8 years before returning back to Austria for a practice now. So I'm aware of kind of like the US holidays, etc. So yeah,
Okay, I
awesome.
wasn't sure, so.
Awesome. Yes, I was like, just saving you some time explaining
Right, I
some of
gotcha.
these. Yeah, perfect. So let's just move on, basically. Thanks so much for telling us your story with mold disease, Aspergillosis. When you were being treated for a fungal infection after your dyspnea got worse and you got diagnosed, what was the most important consideration for you when receiving treatment at this time point?
The most important thing to me was to be able to breathe. I was really struggling to breathe, and that's kind of it's obviously very important to be able to breathe, but that really becomes the only thing that's on your mind is where you're going to get your next breath from. And it's funny, nothing else really matters when you're struggling to breathe. That's all that's on your mind. So that was the main thing. And I guess hoping that it would change, was the only thought that I had to even stabilize or even start to get better. But yeah, breathing was the main problem that I went through. So.
Great. So, and in line with that, going to question three, when you were being treated for a fungal infection or for your aspergillosis, what was the most important consideration for you? And we have put down some considerations basically, but would ask you to rank or re-rank if that's necessary. And A is basically feeling better, having less symptoms, which I understood was very important. But nevertheless, I let you rank this. Not feeling worse is the second option. B, being stable. C is hearing that your scan has improved. Here, D is hearing that your scan was stable. E is hearing that markers of fungal infections, which is blood tests and potentially, I don't know if this was done, also tests from bronchoscopy, from your lung fluid, were better. Or F, hearing that markers of fungal infections were stable, or G, all were equally important.
I would definitely say that A, feeling better was my most important thing. And it's almost in the order that they're listed that they were pretty much in the order that they are. A through F is pretty much how I would rank those. Feeling
Okay.
better and then not feeling worse is and being stable, and then hearing that the scan had improved. And then hearing the scan was stable. Yeah, those are probably in the order that I would rank them, the way they are listed, A to F.
Perfect. But I feel that the emphasis would be on A and B, right? Obviously, because you had problems breathing, and just from your story before that you described about your experience with this disease, I get the feeling that A and B would be kind of like, clearly on top and everything else would be below, right?
So.
I think that's important. That's also something we are trying actually to do with this new criteria to kind of like get the clinics and the symptoms, right, more on top and more important because actually this is what makes the difference, right? So
I
thanks.
mean, from a patient's point of view, feeling better, sure I care that the scan had improved or I feel, but being able to just breathe and not that's your main, it's definitely in that order. So, yeah.
Thanks so much. Awesome. So let's go to the next question, question four. Do you have any suggestions about what other outcomes are important to patients in assessing response to a new antifungal drug that haven't been covered in this list, if any, of course?
I think that basically they're all covered as far as from a patient's perspective. Feeling better is probably going to be number one to all patients, especially when you feel as bad as it's one thing if it's a minor ache, but when you're struggling to breathe or function in any kind of normal manner, feeling better is definitely going to be on top. So I would say really, I can't think of any other outcomes other than, staying alive that would be important and as important as those others on the list. So I don't think so. I don't think there's anything on there that would be added to that.
I think this makes also sense because it's such a life-threatening disease. Obviously, before people develop this disease, they often undergo other life-threatening interventions, diseases, right? So it's a certain state. And, as you say, maybe on the longer term, right now, or, when you're really feeling better, it's kind of like, other things going back to, your usual activities or so, things that like this come into play. But I think it's very valuable that you said, initially it's really about, feeling better, surviving. I mean, that's the thing, right?
And I guess the thing you could add to that list would having a sense of going back to feeling how you did before you had it. Yeah, that I mean that's important, but when you're really struggling with it, that's really not on your mind as much, As you start to feel better, yes, then you want to be able to do activities that you could do before, or to get some sort of how life was before you got the disease. But for the most part, see, I'm looking at this from, I had the disease, I just wanted to feel better. I mean, that was the main thing. But you're right. I mean, further down the line in the long run, yeah, you want to get back to being able to do the things you could do before. So, but you know, that my circumstances have having had a double transplant like 6 months before that, that's just to, in my mind, that's just kind of a given because everything's, you know, laying in the bed for 3 months, really, you know, getting back to normal's going to take a while, you know. So, but you're right. That should be on there too, is that you get a sense of being how you were before. So, but I didn't even think of that. But you're right though.
That's super valuable input, and that's really helpful. Thanks so much. So let's go to question five. Basically, this is presuming, and you may have had some of the symptoms. Well, you may not have had all of them, but if you had symptoms such as fever, cough, chest pain, coughing up blood, and trouble breathing, I mean, you had definitely that. Please answer yes, no to the questions below. And this is about how important these changes would be for you. Personally, as a person suffering from the symptoms from mold disease, from Aspergillus disease. So A would be, would a drop in temperature by 2 or more degrees Fahrenheit, e.g. from 104 to 102, be significant to you?
Yes, I believe it would be significant only in the fact that at 104, I would be feeling really bad. 102 is not good either, but if I had a high fever, I'm sure that would be significant. However, if I didn't have a fever, you know, if I didn't feel the fever, if I was 101 or, you know, and I dropped down to 100 or 99, that probably wouldn't matter to me that much if I didn't feel it personally. Just, you know, but
Thank you.
104, I would feel that. So yeah.
Great. So B, would a cough going from interfering with some daily activities to mild so that you could do normal daily activities be significant?
Yes, very much so. When you're, you know, when you're coughing, it's just hard to do a lot of things because it's not just one cough. It's just a kind of a continuous ongoing thing. When I had it at the beginning, I had a cough, and it was just you didn't feel like doing anything. You couldn't do anything. Plus, I was losing being able to breathe at the time too. So that was a, yeah, I would say that would be significant.
And the next one would be something you could probably very much relate to as well, is going from being short of breath on minimal exertion to be short on breath only on moderate exertion. Would this be significant for you?
Absolutely. That would be right up there at the top. Yeah. I mean, having gone through that, yes, I would say definitely.
Fantastic. And next one would be would going from needing an oxygen masks all the time to just intermittently, for example, after exercise, needing an oxygen mask be significant.
Very much so. Very much so. Having a mask, having an oxygen mask on at all times is really not very pleasant and not a good way to live. So, yeah, that'd be very significant.
And the last one would be would going from sputum being heavily bloodstained to only lightly bloodstained be significant?
Yes, I can't really relate to that question myself, but I'm sure it would be. Yeah.
Perfect. Thanks. So let's move on to question six. When patients have no white blood cells after a transplant or chemotherapy, this may not have been, in your case, but others, especially patients with hematologic malignancies sometimes have no basically white blood cells, so no immune system left to, after their treatment. Most doctors consider all of the above symptoms being stable and not getting worse as a sign of successful treatment. Do you agree with that, or do you have comments?
I would agree with that. You know, when you're really sick or when you're really not feeling well, just being stable and not getting worse. When you're healthy, that doesn't sound like that important. But when you're not feeling well, just getting stable and knowing where your baseline is and you know, trying to improve from that is it's very important. Yeah. So I would agree with that. You know, that if you can stop when you're daily, when you're feeling worse every day, and then you stable. That's like, okay, we maybe we've hit the bottom. And that gives you a little bit of hope, you know, as long as you're still able to function somewhat. Yeah. So I would say that's important.
Thank
Or
you.
I would agree that that's successful. Yeah.
Thank you. So, and number seven, in a clinical trial, measurements of fungal infections, e.g., via spots in the lung, need to be taken to measure where the spot is getting smaller, right? So, like you with radiology, we need to kind of like continue doing scans until we
Right.
see the spots are getting changing or getting smaller. The issue is, and that's something you may have experienced as well, given your story, that often the spots are really slow to reduce in size or go away. This may mean that although you feel better and also your laboratory markers, your fungal markers have cleared, the response to a drug cannot be called complete because the spots in the scan are still there. Do you have any opinions on this?
I do. I think that I think that's not really fair to say that, you know, it's not complete. If you've taken everything that they can give you and you feel good and you feel great, but I may always have, you know, something in the lung. But I feel 1,000 times better than I did. So I would say that's, you know, complete. But I guess, you know, technically, I guess if that's the way they look at it, if you're still showing some small spots in the lung or whatever, and that's not complete, I would kind of disagree with that. I think if you feel only a patient knows how they feel, and I know that I still have some spots in there, and it could be scar tissue. It might never go away, but I feel like I've been healed, you know, from it. So I would disagree with that, you know, that it would not be called complete. So.
Thank you. Super, super helpful, super helpful. Let's go further down to the last three questions. And thanks so much. I mean, I clearly see, Mr. Goon, you have read through the questions before and really thought about your answer, really thoughtful answers that really help us in this process. Really have to thank you
No problem.
along this way. Great. So next question is, in a clinical trial, death is always considered as a failure of a drug, even if the cause seems not related, you know. Dramatic case would being in a car accident, for
Right.
example.
Right.
Do you have any thoughts on this?
Yeah, I just think that's if you're doing a study and the patient's, you know, improving and he gets killed in a car accident, I just think that shouldn't seem like it was a bad, you know, a bad test result. It shouldn't be considered a failure. It should be, you know, everybody's circumstances are different, but I can tell you right now, if I died in a car accident and it's not considered complete because I still have spots in my lung, and they said it was a failure, they would be absolutely wrong. Because like I said, I feel so much better than I did. I feel that if they didn't tell me that I had it, I almost wouldn't know. There's a few circumstances, maybe twice a day, where I take an extra deep breath and I feel a little bit in there. But as far as I'm concerned, I can live with that, you know, compared to where I was. So to call that a failure would be just be wrong, in my opinion. So.
Thank you. So along those lines, the next question, number nine, do you think it's reasonable to capture what the cause of death was if a patient was on a clinical trial? So if a patient has died, would it be good, and this is not done now always, to always capture the cause of death?
Right. Well, using the example that you gave of a car accident, I think that would have to be noted in the clinical trials that he didn't die from the disease we were treating him from. So I would say that you know, to call that a failure, and if you're doing a clinical trial and someone dies in a car accident, had nothing to do with what you're treating for, that shouldn't count against, in my opinion. So.
Thank you. Great. So the last question is number 10. Do you have any more comments? This is basically an open question you would like to make regarding how we assess responses to fungal infections. Anything else that came up when you looked on the paper or thinking about your course of disease?
Well, the only thing I would add to that is I think it's great that you guys are talking to patients and finding out. I know a lot of times when you start doing trials and different things, you're just looking at paper and seeing results, but actually talking to the patients makes me feel like I have a voice, and you know, like we were discussing, technically, I would probably be considered a failure because I still have some, and I probably always will. But I'm not, and in my opinion, I mean, I feel great compared to how I felt, and you know that paper might not show that. The results, the lab results, chest X-rays, scans, different things might not show that. But you know, when you talk to people, I can vouch for the fact that the treatment you guys did for me was great, you know. So whether I'm considered incomplete, a failure, or whatever, I'll take it any day of the week. So, you know, so I that would be my only thing is that you really can't necessarily go by the results from a lab or from a scan, but talking to patients is definitely the way to go. So.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Yeah. And we also felt that, you know, definitely we need to have more patient involvement going forward. And that's, you know,
Yeah.
definitely we all agree that, you know, this has to be go into only one direction. So this has to be more and more. And
Sure.
we just can't just on behalf of the whole group and, you know, Dr. Pappas and everybody else who is involved, you know, big thanks, Mr. Goon, for helping us and for taking your time, you know, to read through this and prepare for these questions.
Yeah.
I think this was incredibly helpful for us.
I hope
And,
so.
you know, I will share. Thanks also for allowing me to share with the other people in the group. And
Absolutely.
we will, you know, really use these as inputs for the drafts. And we will, of course, also moving forward in this process, keep you involved, right? So you will see what comes out of this. And,
That'd be great.
you know, big thanks
Anytime you
again.
need me, I'll
Yeah,
be here,
awesome.
hopefully.
Fantastic. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Thank you so
Thank you.
much for
And if
my
you have
time.
questions at any point, feel free to contact headquarters, the MSG email that you have, if there's Gotcha. anything that we can answer for you or let you know the status on the project. All right. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. Much appreciating your efforts and help here.
Okay.
Great.
Well, have a good
Fantastic.
conference.
Thank you. Have
All
a
right.
wonderful day, everybody. And Jennifer, see you later, probably.
Travel safe.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank
Thank
you.
you. Bye. All
Bye.
right. Bye-bye.